Yeah, it's like $6 for a hazelnut latte. What's all that about?
Banned in 50 states for flash mobbing the coffee store. Love it.
This is Superfast Business with James Schranko. James Schranko. Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schranko here, and recently I was over in San Francisco at a traffic and conversion summit that Ryan Dice and Perry Belcher put on, which was a great event and I highly recommend it. And the reason I went to that event is I like to meet other people in the same market that I'm in, because you can exchange ideas. And quite often you meet people who you've seen online but you've never seen face to face, and when you get to meet them, you can really explore ideas and learn from each other. And one of the people I met on this recent trip was Chris Farrell, who has a very popular site, chrisfarrellmembership.com. And Chris is probably the nicest person on the planet, just the most amazing guy, and he's on the line now. G'day, Chris.
It's not true. You should hear what I've been saying about you and the rumors I've been trying to spread about you on YouTube and Facebook.
How do you do that, though? Like, you are almost sickeningly nice. Is that is that some kind of contrived act, or are you just genuinely a nice person?
I don't know if it's because, you know, I'm originally from England and we were all suppressed and we all sort of believe that Downton Abbey is how we should live these days, and we tip our hats and we open the doors for women. So I don't know. I just love the kind of the old-fashioned chivalry in the world. So maybe there's something there. I don't really know. Great question, though.
But just on that note, how do you find having a different accent works for you in the United States market? Because I have the Australian accent, and of course all the Americans speak funny. Do you think it helps you stand out, or do you find that they have difficulty understanding you?
You know, it's fascinating you say that, because I do live in Los Angeles now and I didn't even think about the accent. And having an accent, just like in the United Kingdom, when you hear somebody with an Australian accent or a US accent, you have this perception that, gosh, they must really know what they're talking about. So having an accent actually has really, really helped. Then, of course, you need to solidify it and back it up with actually knowing your subject matter. But I have found it does get you noticed faster and quicker. So that was just a kind of a nice default addition, if you like, to living in a different country to where you were born and where you grew up.
Yeah, I think it helps you differentiate. Now, today we're going to be talking about a topic that is dear to my heart and something you've really monopolized as well, and that's on the subject of continuity. And I guess we should talk about what continuity actually is, and then why people might be interested in that. You've got chrisfarrellmembership.com. I've got fastwebformula.com. They're both membership sites, and they both have a continual billing cycle. Tell us, how do you describe continuity to your members?
Well, I quite simply think that continuity is the, as dramatic as this will sound, is the most powerful business model out there. And the reason, quite simply, is if I had to define it in a sentence, my headline would be, recurring income cannot be beaten. It really is the ultimate business model. Interestingly enough, ClickBank recently surveyed their top vendors, and they found that their vendors that had a recurring billing product, so a vendor having something such as continuity, a membership site, maybe a mentoring program that's rebilling, as opposed to a standalone product, those with a recurring billing product were earning over 400% more. So the reason I'm really excited about this is because I know many particularly listening to this podcast, are interested in maybe creating their own product. Maybe many listening now have their own product. My question to you would be, have you considered maybe turning that into a continuity-based product? It takes away so many challenges of having to continually sell all the time to hit the mortgage repayments every month. You only make that sale once. And then if you really deliver value and really build that relationship with your now your customer, keeping that recurring billing is not that much of a challenge. So my headline would be, quite simply, James, recurring income cannot be beaten.
Right. And I think if I had to come up with a one-line headline, it'd be something like, sell once, get paid over and over. And you mentioned it there, that you make the sale. And the great thing about continuity is that for it to stop, someone actually has to take an action, which is they have to actually request it to stop or log in somewhere and unsubscribe. And the challenge as the entrepreneur for us is to make sure that there's more motivation for someone to stay than there is for them to leave. And if you can continue that agreement, then the recurring income will continue to come in. But it's very empowering to the business owner as well as the customer, because one of the great things about having this continuity is that you have an obligation to continue to deliver value. Now, that's a pretty soft phrase we hear a lot, value, value, yes, value. But I imagine you've got this recurring wall of income coming in for your membership. Do you continue to add value to your members?
I'm in my membership site pretty much every day adding new content, just as much as I know you are as well, because a smart business owner knows that the fastest way to grow a business is actually to look after your existing customers and let them do your marketing for you. And it's amazing how many small businesses really spend the lion's share of their time continually just trying to acquire a new customer. Now, of course, on the surface, that would make sense. But what happens is most small businesses get kind of caught up in just continually trying to acquire a new customer all the time. Then what happens is when somebody joins that product or that service, often they kind of really forget about them. And I learned this from the guys at Infusionsoft. They said that the number one reason why somebody will leave your product or leave your service is not because the product sucks, or not because you have bad customer support, although those certainly are high up in the list. But the number one reason is actually indifference. 65% of people apparently will leave a product or a service because, frankly, they don't really care, because the person that's created that product or that service is continually trying to acquire a new customer. So a smart business owner knows that the fastest way to grow a business is to look after your existing customers. Really do over-deliver. And we don't use that, as you just said, James, as, you know, pretty words. It's kind of a buzzword at the moment. How can I really add value? But really think of that customer as a real person with hopes and dreams and fears and aspirations, just like we all have, and communicate with them effectively. They will do your marketing for you. And it's amazing how many people don't do this. And a membership site is the perfect vehicle that allows us to engage with our customers, our members. And if we do it well, if we really do genuinely deliver value, they will do your marketing for you. And that's one of the many reasons why I think it is the best business model out there.
I love it. I mean, and it's not just words you're saying there. I can see you've got 23,500 people have liked your homepage. So somebody out there thinks your content's pretty good to be able to share it like that. That's the good thing. If you obsessively focus on the product, as I do and as you do, then the rest will take care of itself. And if you go and look online, there's a proliferation of courses that will talk to you about getting traffic and acquiring customers. But I think we should really delve on this keeping customer and customer retention side of it, because it is so often ignored. And I'm going to go out with the first shot here, and I'm going to say that the thing that has worked well for me in the last 9 or 10 months in particular was to develop and to implement my Own the Race course strategy, which is to create a news platform that means that I'm in touch with my customers at least once a week and staying on their relevant topic. And of course, I've expanded that into multiple channels, and I've covered all of my different business segments now. But at least anyone in my sphere, anyone who's a current customer, a prospective customer, or even a previous customer is going to hear from me at least once a week with news and information or rich media content that is relevant to their business. And like a classic example of that will be this podcast. I will email out my customers and say, if you're interested in having a fantastic, profitable business, you really should know about continuity. I just recorded something with my friend Chris, and here it is. You know, so I'll give them this absolutely free, and it helps them grow their business. And that's a reason for them to be here next week and the week after. I was wondering what sort of platforms you have in place to keep those current customers you have.
That's a terrific question. You know, as you were saying that, James, I was thinking, you mentioned earlier that we met recently in San Francisco. And I have to say, as sycophantic as this will sound, we were hanging out with you, and we were all making notes, because what you say, most people they'll nod in agreement, but they won't actually implement in their business. Because Gary Vaynerchuk, I think, sums it up perfectly. He says caring is the new currency. And when I heard him say that, I thought, do you know what, that sort of sums up where we are here in the second decade of the 21st century. Caring is the new currency. It's very well to say, yes, I care about my list, my customer, but actions, you know, reveal somebody's true character. Talk is cheap. How do you actually do this? So to answer your question, we really do. We identify when we send an email, when we make a video. I'm very hot on saying to my team and even to myself, really picture who is it we are communicating with. Let's talk to them. Let's not talk at them. We survey our list. We ask them what they're having challenges with. One thing that we do that I feel has really benefited our business is don't sell all the time. How many listening on this podcast are on somebody's list? And you know for a fact, every time they send you an email, they're trying to sell you something. Every time. It's such an old-fashioned way of doing business. Business has changed. Things have turned on their head now. Customer service is the most important aspect in a business, as I said, because caring is the new currency. So to answer your question, we like to really fall in love with those on our list, whether they're paying customers or whether they've just joined our list for free. We want to make people feel special. People will stay for the content. People will join for the content. If you have a membership site, people will join for the content, but they will stay for the community. So fall in love with your list. Make them feel special. Be unpredictable. Be present, even if it's as fun. And I know you do this, James. You're a perfect example of this. If you're traveling somewhere, you'll put a little Facebook post up saying, look, I'm in wherever. I'm in Atlanta. Who fancies having a coffee? Just do things that are slightly outside the norm. And it's amazing, particularly in the social media rich world, how many people will respond and they will share and they will comment. And that will just grow your brand and grow your reputation. So I think if I had to sum it up, what we work really hard at is being unpredictable. I'll give an example. The other day I was just, I live here in Los Angeles. I decided just to have an impromptu coffee get together at Coffee Bean on Ventura Boulevard here. Just sent out a Facebook post, did something in the forum. We had 30 people turn up. We did one a few months ago in Utah, had over 200 people turn up. The coffee shop wondered what was going on. My point is, fall in love with your list. Nobody really is doing it these days. And those businesses that are, it makes all the difference to how you interact and communicate with your customer. And then at the end of the day, how it will affect your bottom line as well.
Right. So if you keep going to Coffee Bean, that will affect your bottom line.
Yeah. It's like $6 for a hazelnut latte. What's all that about?
Banned in 50 states for flash mobbing the coffee store. Love it. Yeah, the unpredictable stuff. That is true. You know, recently we have a mutual friend, Kerwin Ray, and
yes.
I put out a video where I videoed my toes and twinkled them to some music, and that went a little bit viral. I had over 300 comments on it. That was when I was asking my audience, should I shave or not? I mean, I care enough about them to find out if I need to change the way that I groom for my videos. Now, I know this would never affect you because you're always pristine in your presentation. But the interesting thing is, my first memories of you were videos that you've made, little personal videos like in the back of Utah, thanking the event organizer for an event that you spoke at, and doing a little video tour of your with your new camera, testing out the settings, etc. So I think it is important to care. And frankly, I don't understand why it took people so long. I still have this vivid memory of one of my bosses in 2001. I was at a Mercedes-Benz dealership. I had just been promoted to a manager's job. And he said, Shrampco, you care too much. And I just thought, how can you possibly care too much? Yeah. How can you care too much? I used to carry the stress and the burden to ensure that every customer was getting a good experience. And I would, you know, it would irritate me when a salesperson wouldn't do the right thing to make the experience perfect for a customer who comes in to spend $100,000 or $200,000 on a motor vehicle. I would carry that load and I'd carry that stress and I would want them to have a good experience. So I totally relate to the caring thing. And
again, it's not a buzzword. I know I even hesitate saying it sometimes because it sounds, doesn't it, as if it's the right thing to say. But again, as we mentioned earlier, you know, actions do define somebody's real character. And it's all very well saying this, but actually implement it in your business. And once you start thinking like this, for me at least, the biggest challenge I had when I began online was actually thinking as a marketer. I had to kind of take off my blinkers and start thinking differently. And that's really kind of why I was excited to be invited on this podcast with you. If anyone is listening right now that thinks, okay, well, how do I actually do this? The biggest challenge is just start thinking as a marketer and get comfortable sharing your story and yourself. I know some suffer from, because I suffered from this, of thinking, well, does anybody really care? I'll give you a very quick example. A lady on my list, a lovely lady called Julie, who's 50. And the reason I know that is she said to me in an email, she said, Chris, I'm 50. I'm divorced. I'm a mum of three. Who really would care about that? And my answer would be, the very fact that you are 50, that you are divorced, that you do have three kids, suddenly makes you this real three-dimensional person. And if you were comfortable enough to get through those hurdles and those mental obstacles that we all have of making a video to put yourself out there, nobody likes how they look on video. We all have to get over that hurdle at first. Suddenly you will find that you are somebody that people can relate to. And this is why the marketing playing field is level. This is why we can market with the Microsofts and the Apples of the world. We'll never quite have their deep pockets, but we have this window to the world. And if we're prepared to put ourselves out there and get slightly out of our comfort zone, the results really can be extraordinary. As you know, as I'm finding, as you're finding as well, James, and as many other people we're finding as well.
Well, I think this is really important, this transparency or openness. If you're willing to share a little bit and if you're willing to be real, that opens up possibilities. And I saw a really interesting comment in my forum yesterday. Someone had gone along to a course from a marketer. They learnt this concept of putting up a page. They were told they didn't have to be an expert, and they inadvertently stumbled into the health market, and even to add more dimension to it, they went into the cancer treatment market. And the next thing you know, they're starting to get emails from people who are going to die. And the feeling of overwhelm and responsibility and care kicked in, and they went and they deleted the site that they'd had up for several years. And then several other members said, you know what, I did exactly the same thing. And they've realized that you have to be genuine and you have to be sincere. And we are dealing with people here, and it really does bug me when a marketer will send sales offer, sales offer, sales offer, sales offer. And you know for a fact they are disingenuous. They're not using the products. They don't really care about anything other than you transferring your credit card to their merchant facility. And that does bother me. And from my own background, I came through the Mercedes-Benz channel, and I learnt about really making sure that I was solving a customer's needs, that I was making sure they get the right purchase, because it was pretty expensive to buy the wrong car. And I had this obligation that if they were comparing my car to an inferior car that maybe wouldn't save their life if they were in an accident or something, then it was up to me to make sure they made a good decision. But I'm wondering, you know, I know a little bit about your background, but how did you get to be yourself? How did Chris Farrell start putting himself on videos? I know you're an entertainer and you were hiding behind costumes at some point. Maybe you want to tell us about that, but what was the transition?
Well, very, very long story short, I suspect like many listening right now, I'd always been fascinated by the web, and I genuinely knew absolutely nothing about it in 2008, other than the fact that I wanted to kind of investigate this a little bit further. And it's funny, isn't it, how you change, because I clearly remember thinking the fact that I know nothing about this business, that's going to be a huge hindrance. I didn't know what WordPress was or how to get a website online. I didn't even know what traffic meant. I remember somebody asking me once, are you using a PC or a Mac? And I said, well, I'm using a computer. I really didn't know anything. And the only reason I say that is because at the time I thought that was going to be a huge hindrance. Isn't it funny how, you know, blessings come to us in many disguises? It was the biggest blessing because it meant I wasn't kind of tarnished. I didn't come with any preconceived ideas or notions. I didn't know anybody in this business. And I just literally did like most people that end up building a business. I just did it through blood, sweat, and tears and many 2 a.m. finishes. And it took me 6 months before I made anything online. I really struggled. I almost quit twice. And so that's really how I began. And I literally did what you teach, James. You know, I identified areas online where people are already spending money, and I started to build lists of people interested in that subject matter. Then when I did, I think I did pretty well because I just genuinely enjoy this aspect of this business, was I really engaged with those people first. I really wanted to identify them, find out about them, communicate with them. I wasn't scared to kind of get myself out and get known by people. Only once did I engage and create a relationship was I then comfortable in recommending products to purchase, only if I'd use the products myself. Now, ironically, it ended up happening that I ended up creating my own products because I couldn't really find that much to recommend that I could honestly look somebody in the eye and say, this is good. So I ended up studying how to create products, and that took me another 6 months. And then I had to learn how to make videos. I never knew how to make a video. So long story short, I kind of literally, I would sit down on a Monday and think, right, I need to know how to make a video online. I have no idea. And I'd spend the next month just studying it on YouTube and buying courses and getting some one-to-one training. And I did it step by step, and I'm certainly still learning, but it has been the best thing after asking my wife to marry me that I've ever done. And the thing I'd really like to convey to those listening right now to this podcast is, please don't think you've missed the boat. You know, Google is a teenager. Facebook is a toddler. We are still on the starting blocks. So if you just remain focused and you just learn some skills and then implement those skills, the results really can be extraordinary. Did you notice how I've cunningly sidestepped talking about dressing up as an entertainer?
I did. I was just waiting for that bit. I even heard a little clicking fingers. I was wondering if I was being hypnotized.
You see.
3, 2, 1, sleep. No, the thing is, I've seen you in Facebook even as recently as a few weeks ago asking people if they know such and such or whatever. You certainly have no shame in asking people information on a topic you don't know about. I can see you're a continual learner. But I also think you have a fantastic teacher's voice. You just have that soothing tutorial style, easy listening. I'm going to show you how it works, and I'm sure that people can find your tuition easy. Okay, let's go back to the point here, the recurring commission. In your case, you've aligned that with something you enjoy, and that's discovering things and then teaching other people how to do it. And let's just translate this to something I did in my business, which was I was providing a service, and that was helping people get their website ranked at the top of Google, as we call this SEO. And I was doing it myself, and then I started to get some contractors to help out. But then I didn't feel that they were good enough. I didn't like what they were doing, and I slowly built my own team and in the end created my own service, which is primarily continuity-based. And just to give some stats, about 80% of my business is continuity-based. So that means that most of our customers are perpetual customers. They are just continually ordering, and that relies on us getting a result. So there's a specific, tangible, measurable, deliverable. Someone orders and then their website rank improves. And if we can improve it, they will reorder and so on and so forth. And then if they have more websites, they'll add those into the mix. So one of the big important things with any kind of continuity programs is it doesn't really matter if it's an information product or if it's a service. It could even be a newsletter. It could be a CD of the month. It doesn't matter. But the most important thing is that you deliver a result that is worth more than the amount that you ask for. And if you can get that equation right, then it is a very, very exciting business model.
Yeah, I could not agree with that more. And I would add to that, people will join because there's content that they want to consume, and they'll join for the content. And as we mentioned earlier, they will actually stay for the community. So if you deliver some great content and then really work hard on engaging those that have joined your product or your service, you will find they will stay, because I think it's a primal human instinct. It's why we sat around fires in the caves years ago. It's why we tell stories to one another. People like to feel connected to one another. It's why Facebook balloons so far so quickly. So if you bear in mind, in most businesses, people will join for the content but stay for the community, and therefore work harder on the community aspect, you'll find that you'll get a long lifetime customer with your business, your product, or your service.
Well, I'm going to put out a real question I got recently. It's from an established product owner who already has a couple of single-time products that have done really well. And he's watched my business model, and I did something really interesting. I'm going to share some stats here, and I like to do this for listeners. I give them real numbers.
I love stats.
Right.
I love the metrics.
Well, I used to have a lot of single products, like one-time products, and then I would step people up to the continuity program. I'd say, look, here's the single product. It's a one-time commitment. You can order it, and if you like that, come along and join my membership. And that was working okay. And one of the products I sold over 3,000 copies, that was called Traffic Grab. And that was a really popular product. But I was kind of disappointed with the number of people that took me up, even on a free trial, into my membership. So what I did is had a look at my stats. And here's something that just blew me away. My bottom 20% of sales numbers generated 1% of my revenue. And this was in December, I think. I pulled this out of my stats. I looked at a couple of million bucks worth of sales, and the 20% of those sales only generated 1% of revenue, and it was all these little one-time products. So in January, I thought, you know what? I'm just not going to let people buy the one-time products anymore. They can have as much as they want for free. I've got 4 podcasts. I've got a very powerful blog where I put fantastic content. They can have that for free. And then if they want to buy something, it's just continuity from now on. So I turned off the front end products, and I turned on the, you know, I just suggested, look, this product is inside this membership. So what happened on the sales numbers in January? I think I lost about $3,000 worth of the front end sales products. And that would have generally been made up of $20, $30, $40 products. So yes. I lost quite a few single time customers. However, I made $6,500 in first month continuity sales. So that was 60 something or 70 something purchases of my continuity. So I had a bigger sales month in January than I did in December for my continuity. And this is assuming that if they only stayed for 1 month, then I would have doubled my sales. But the fact is that probably some of them will stay for years.
Sure.
Because I already had a community for 4 years in a row before that. And a lot of members stayed the whole time. Now, I'll give away one retention strategy that works really well here, and that is to continually step up the membership rate, which automatically grandfathers or locks in people at the price point they join, and that therefore becomes a loyalty discount to the market rate. So the people who join my community earlier are on a slightly lower rate than people who join today, and that is because they were in there for the long haul, and they are member contributing content, and they are becoming the older, most senior people in the community, and they get that loyalty rate. So every single month now that they stay, they're getting an effective discount to what the new market rate is. And over time, as I add more content and as the market matures in there, then the value increases. So
that's a great strategy. Out of interest, how often would you increase the monthly membership?
Right. So let's have, I'll share some stats with my own membership here, which is fastwebformula.com. It started in March 2012. It fairly quickly got to 100 members, and then it went to 200 and 300. I started at $47 for the very first people, and then it, within, I think, the first month, it stepped up to 57. And then around about September, it went to 67. And then in now there was 300 members in September of 2012. Today in February 2013, there is 611 members, so it's doubled, and it's now $79 a month. And it will go to $99 a month, and I estimate that will be in within 3 months. So my old membership was $99 a month, and I had that for 4 years, and it was a really good membership. But due to a few reasons, and one of the main reason was to dissolve a partnership that I felt was a little bit out of equity, I started a new one. And the new one is, it's just amazing. I mean, I went to a dinner last night. We just have meetups in most major capital cities in the world. As like there's a big community in the UK and also in the USA and, of course, in Australia. And there was 14 or 16 people, maybe even 20, but it's such a solid community now. And this is the thing, the early members know that they're on a really good rate. They're on a fantastic rate because they got in early and they put their confidence in me when it was a new membership. And the longer they stay, the more that adds up.
You see, the thing that I've always liked about you, even before we met, is that you are one of these relatively rare marketers that actually looks at this as a business. And there are a lot of people online that really look at this as a quick one hit, get in, get out sort of thing. And as most people know, the real money in any business is in the back end. You might make a quick bid at the front, but you know, for longevity, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So you're building a proper business, aren't you, rather than just trying to make a quick hit by getting some quick
cash. Here's what happens. It's allowed me to put a lot more focus on it. You see, if you were to work out the numbers, I'm sure the listeners are starting to think about that. Oh, okay, 600 members, maybe an average of $50 a member or $60 a member. Keep in mind, at the end of last year, I closed down my affiliate program because I really just don't need affiliates driving me traffic. I'm very good at driving my own traffic.
That's a great place to be.
Right, so that membership fee less merchant numbers is mine to keep. So if you take from March when there was nothing to now, it's now a reasonable business that justifies my attention. That's why I'm putting on a live event for my members in June. And I'm able to put on the event at a much lower ticket price than I used to be able to put on events for, because I don't need to make a profit from the event. I just need to cover the venue hire and the meals. And, you know, I pay for meals and I really look after them and we have fun. So it justifies my time and attention because it's on continuity. Now, if it was a one-time membership, I really wouldn't be able to justify to be really tied up with my SEO business or my website development business and putting all my attention there. Instead, though, I'm really adding more focus. So yesterday, I had my team load up an entire new course to the membership. I want to give it to them as a gift and say, here's a brand new course. And I'll continue to do that. I can actually sit down and create a new course. I could spend a week doing it because the membership is rewarding me enough that I can reward it back with my time and attention. So it's like it's competing with my other businesses. So that's the counterintuitive thing is, the more you charge for things and the more profitable things become, the more focus you put on them, which in turn powers them up to be even better. Now, I know that my membership's a little baby membership compared to how many members you have. You might want to impress us with some stats there, but it's, you know, you've been chipping away at this for a little while and it's a little more mature, right?
Well, again, I've exactly the same process as you. I just have been really working hard on the reputation, really, and putting out a lot of free content and converting as much as I can people through to the paid membership. And we have got just over 5,000 members now, and it's a lower price point. It's $37, and we do have affiliates. Just because we do, really. But it's interesting that you say that. We've certainly found that the biggest driver of traffic to the membership site is from within our own list building methods. And we've even thought about maybe we should just focus on that all the time. But I'm not reinventing the wheel. I'm just trying to really picture somebody when they sign up, what they are thinking. They're probably a little bit scared that they've just committed to $37 a month. You know, I want to make people feel comfortable. I want to welcome them to the site, show them how easy it is to navigate. I've always loved that saying, you never get that second chance to make a first impression.
And, yeah, that's why I have to shave now, Chris.
Is that why?
Well, if people haven't seen me before, they, you know, I'm too scruffy for them, apparently. But you know, 5,000 members at $37 a month. No wonder you're in there all the time, Chris. You know, you don't really need much else. And
I do. That's the thing. You know, again, we could go off at another. I'm aware we've got a time thing here, but you know, I've had some people say, "Well, as an exit strategy, you called the site Chris Farrell Membership. That's very difficult to sell," and that's true. But you know, I don't really worry about that. The flip side of that is
enjoyed along the way.
I do exactly. It's a nice business to have. Become really good personal friends. Literally, you know, we text, we've even gone on holiday with some of the members that I've met So it's that's why I said after asking my wife to marry me, it really is the best thing I've ever done.
Does she know you sent me a Valentine's message?
She doesn't. Is she?
We won't tell her. It totally won't be public. We won't mention it on the podcast.
You and I.
And a few thousand listeners. It'll be fine.
Nothing wrong with a bit of bromance.
All right. So just in summary there, we've talked about this idea of continuity. What is it? It is putting up an offer that has a recurring component. Why do it? Because it's damn profitable, and it's a great way to protect yourself because you have the bankable recurring income, even allowing for a little bit of drop-off and a little bit of addition of new customers. It's a smart thing to do. How do you do it? Well, some of the clues we've given is do something that you really, really enjoy that you could be doing all the time because it's that rewarding that you want to be doing more of it. And what if you're not sure of yourself? What if you're too old or you're too single or you're this or that? People will love you warts and all if you're prepared to be yourself. And if both of us use video marketing, both of us put out free content. I don't mind if 99% of the people who are downloading my free course that I just put on my blog, that people would normally pay for. I don't care if 99% of them never buy anything from me, because the ones who will buy from me will recognize the value, and they're the ones who are most likely to stay on board, and I don't have to trick them into buying. I don't have to offer silly, risk-free, try it for a year, and if you don't love it, we'll refund your offers or whatever. We have a 1% refund rate, and it's usually a billing error where someone accidentally let it run on a month and asked us to send it back, right? And I'm proud of that.
We are 3% and we thought that was good.
Right. Well,
so,
that's
tremendous.
You wouldn't go and commit suicide over that rate. I think you'd be fine. But in a market where some people think that 15% is good, we're on the same page there. And the action steps, this is how I like to finish off the training. The action steps would be to pull up a whiteboard. Everyone knows I'm obsessed with whiteboards. So that's my preferred medium. Now, whatever it is for you, pull up a whiteboard, write down what products or services you already have, and then put down some items that you think would enable those to become recurring offers. If they are recurring offers, have a look at how you could develop those recurring offers and put more of your attention there. If they're not recurring offers, think about how you can best solve that person's challenge or problem, your perfect customer, and turn that into a recurring program. And if you want to post comments where this podcast is, I'll be happy to answer some questions around it. I don't know, but Chris will probably drop by as well.
I'd be honored.
And I absolutely recommend that everyone joins Chris Farrell Membership and fastwebformula.com. If you have those two memberships, then you will see it in action. You'll see us doing, not just talking about it. And you probably really wouldn't need anything else after that.
And also, if I could just add to that, that's such gold advice. I wish I'd heard that advice 3 years ago when I started my membership site. But I think a big mental challenge for many is many feel that you have to be an expert in a particular field to have a membership site. And if you are, that's great, because if you are an author or a speaker or an expert, a membership site can be a very effective vehicle to allow you to leverage your expertise and maximize your time. But the thing I'd really want to mention is you don't have to be. Some of the most successful membership sites out there are created by people who really gather information and put it on in one place. They kind of host information, if you like. So if you can sort of be the host, the organizer,
the curator.
Yeah, absolutely. One central, easy to find place. Because the one thing that everybody needs more of, apart from money, is time. And if you can be respectful of somebody's time, and if you can find a particular subject matter that is a profitable subject matter in the first place, and organize content in one central, easy to find place, you don't have to be the expert. You can be the, as you say, the curator, and just be the guy that puts it, or the girl that puts it all together.
Chris, thanks so much for hopping on this call.
Oh, James, it's a real pleasure. It was a treat to meet you in San Francisco, and I'm looking forward to sending you more flirty texts very soon and seeing you soon as well.
Okay. Well, thank you. And listener, I hope you got some value from this, and post your comments, and hopefully might get Chris back and we'll tackle another topic on a different podcast.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.